And now, a different perspective. Lisa Wexler talks with activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Welcome back to the show. Hello, hello. Wayne Winston's in the studio with us. Hello, Wayne.
Good morning.
So let me just begin with a local story, because we've been talking about things that aren't necessarily so local. I don't know if you saw that in Berlin, there was yet another, a situation where very ugly Nazi kind of, you know, white supremacist materials were strewn around places in Berlin. I don't really have many friends up there. I know some people up there, but not a lot. I don't know much about the community of Berlin. This isn't the first time it's happened up there.
Well, you know, it's first of all, I say good morning to everybody. But it's unfortunate and tragic. But we know these people exist. You know, for a long time we just blow it off and say, "Hey, there must be a bunch of kids doing something." Maybe. At the same time, we know that there are roots growing that are affecting our young people's minds through social media and different contact that we see, and it is having a drastic effect. You know, teenagers and mass shootings and so on. And I wish that we could use some of that information used on the internet, create some red flags. If you're posting stuff that says, "I'm going to shoot someone," or
how is that not a red flag?
I don't know. That's why when we're getting the stories after, it's like.
And that's what
social
I've been scratching
media.
My head about. These people are not, I mean, they're not actually unknown to us. Mm-hmm. They are crying for help, or they are crying in battle, but they are crying somehow. They are uttering their most deep desires of hatred and wanting to kill. This yes. guy in Highland Park is just one long line in another example of young men who, many of them are white, but not always, who nurse these grievances against people, strangers, society, the world has done them wrong. They get a gun legally. This guy got a gun legally in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
He dressed up. Did you see the braids he was wearing, Wayne?
Yes.
The braids, because he wanted to escape. This guy was not going out in suicide. A lot of them go out in suicide. This guy was not. This guy wanted to escape. He apparently milled in with the crowd in the aftermath of the hysteria. He probably enjoyed himself.
I think so. As I said, he planned it for weeks. So, you know, here's a parade. That's got to be one of the most vulnerable places for anybody. You know, with your fam and so on, and you're just going to go and have a good time.
I mean, what's going to happen next week in the Juneteenth parade, Wayne? Am I going to have to think twice about marching with people in a Juneteenth parade, which could be a target for a crazy person?
Well, fortunately, the next Juneteenth parade is next year. But
you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Now people are going to have to think all the time about gathering together.
Well, that goes for the great parade we had in Bridgeport, parades everywhere. We are in a situation where it's just so prevalent, it's like a cancer spreading through our country. And there isn't a silver bullet issue, but clearly I think, once again, social media can be very helpful, because usually these guys are posting wacky, crazy stuff that has to do with a manifesto that says, "I'm going to kill someone," or "I'm looking at some extremist situation." Now, we understand freedom of speech and so on, but there has to be some type of red flags, because they can take you offline.
Or they can knock on your door and say, "We don't think you should have guns right now." Andrew, I want to play clip 4. This is from the mayor of Highland Park.
"I don't believe he was previously known to police until yesterday. I know him as somebody who was a Cub Scout when I was the Cub Scout leader. And it's one of those things where you step back and you say, what happened? How did somebody become this angry, this hateful, to then take it out on innocent people who literally were just having a family day out?"
And then this mayor was asked, "Well, what was he like as a Cub Scout?" And she said, "He was just a kid. I mean, give me a break." Her question is the most important question. Mm-hmm. How does somebody who starts out as a Cub Scout become this person? What's happening?
Well, the good thing in his case, he's at least been arrested, and they will be able to talk to him and figure it out. Because when these guys commit suicide, the question is always like, why did you do this? There are people in jail for years, and they go back and say, well, what was your mindset? What was your trigger? Now, it can make no sense to us, but it clearly makes sense to them. And people really want fame one way or another. And that's why they just don't do these things in silence anymore. The bigger it is, the more attention that it gets. And this guy's like in a movie or something, you know. And there's a reflection that we have in our community right now as what happened with Cremo. He leaves, blends in, dresses up in women's clothes, literally gets away, gets to his mom's house, takes her car. By the time the police figure out who he is, they put the information out. He's identified. The police see him, and they call for backup. They arrest him without incident. Now, on the other side, there's another story that we're going to segue into that has to do with Jalen, a black man, 25 years old, no record, traffic stop, and he is shot 60 times running away from the police. And you can literally see him on video straight from their body cam all over. He is literally running away from him. You got to be at least 20, 30, and you can see these cops literally just running behind him at night, opening fire. Bang, 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 bang.
Eight of them were already placed on leave.
So,
but let me ask you about that. You want to switch to that Jalen Walker. That's Akron, Ohio.
Yes.
A couple of things about that case struck me. Number one, he was wearing a ski mask. Why?
I think he was trying to cover his face.
Why?
If I can get away, because he believes he's going to be killed.
I see.
If I can get this, put this mask on and get out of here, maybe I can just blend in and go like, hey, it wasn't me.
I see.
That you're chasing.
Okay. Okay. So he's not realizing that a ski mask makes him look as if he was, like, in the middle of a bank robbery or something. He doesn't realize that, in your view.
No, I think...
You think he's just running to escape.
Oh, there's no question.
No, but I mean, you think that the ski mask wasn't an indication that he was going to be doing a crime. It was more like, let me just not have them know who I am and get out of here.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then the other thing was that, about this particular case, this is confusing to me. Initially, the police said that there was a gun left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been confirmed?
Well, it turns out that the gun was in the back seat.
The back seat.
So they're like, there's bullets.
And he had just bought a gun, apparently.
Well, apparently from what they're saying.
Yeah.
And
he had just lost his girlfriend in a car accident. Did you see that too?
Yes, I did.
I did. Okay.
And so you have the gun, and the magazine is like conveniently near it.
Right.
And there's a gold ring in there for whatever reason that they find all together.
What's a gold ring? Like a ring that
a
you
regular
wear? Jewelry?
Ring,
okay.
Jewelry.
Okay.
So they don't know what that's about, but here's the tragedy. He had no criminal record. It was a traffic stop.
I know.
How does a traffic
stop? I know.
Stop
I don't get it at all.
Into?
And then the police said that they tried to tase him, but the taser didn't work. So what? So if a taser doesn't work to stop someone in a traffic, your automatic is to shoot them and kill them?
Well, that is why
60 bullets.
60 and 8 officers firing at this. It's just crazy. And you can see the cams bouncing as they're running towards it.
So
boom,
you're
boom,
bringing
boom, boom,
that up not only to talk about that in and of itself, which you feel is a wrongful reaction to what happened.
Absolutely.
I cannot comment on that.
Understood.
But you're also bringing that up to say, wait a minute, this other guy walked away from, in other words, he's alive.
Yes, yes.
And in jail, but he's alive
mm-hmm.
from this mass casualty incident. Is your point that if he had been black, you think he would have been shot on sight? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm pretty sure. A, because what we are seeing is he killed 7 people, as we know now.
And maimed countless others.
They chase him down. There's a car chase for him, too. Okay, they pull him over. They know this man has killed 7 people already. Yet somehow, you're not so much fearing for your life or the threat that he could be, that you somehow get to arrest a man that you know has killed seven random people in a parade. But here's a guy in his car, and they're showing in their own cameras, there's a light somehow flashes or something on the car, and one of the officers says, "Hey, you shoot, fire your gun." Okay, that could have been a lot of reflection. So they pull him over. He finally pulls over, jumps out the car in the ski mask, literally running away. He's got about 30 feet or more, and these cops are running behind him. Bang, 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 bang. 60 bullets riddle his body. That's hard for me to say that's a coincidence, because somehow they were afraid of him, but not a man who had just... And that happened to another black man who was in Wendy's when he fell asleep in his car during the COVID. He was drunk. And when he got out the car and they had to wake him up and they had him, you know, take the sobriety test, and there was something, he was reported, even a police officer says, "We're talking to him." And all of a sudden, he just takes off running.
Oh, yeah, I know that case.
Okay.
They shoot
tase him, and then they shoot him in the back to death. It's like, what is going on here? So now we're going to Black Lives Matter. When you hear BLM, it's not a political football. It came about with Trayvon Martin. It wasn't these ladies later on who, whatever happened with the dollars here or not. You know, United Way was ripping off people here, which is a separate thing. This statement comes from, it's a cry from help, for help. It's say, hey, listen, there's something wrong here. Black lives matter. Why are we dying in situations that should be simple traffic stops? Just take us to court.
Mm-hmm.
Just arrest us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let the judge, let the jury make their determination. Now, we know this.
So what do you think the police should do? What do you think the reasonable reaction of police should be when people run away from them?
Well, I think there's a benefit of the doubt that happens in every person's mind. You know, again, if people are running away from you, then that means they're not coming towards you. So at what point are they the threat? And they admit
okay,
that themselves.
I understand that. So what should the police, should they ignore it and wait for the people to reappear another day and go back to the car and see who was registered to the car and then just try and pick them up on a promise to appear at another time? Should they let it go? Because, see, it seems a lot of this to me seems like in the moment, whoever the police officers are that are responding to this are not willing to let it go. They're not willing to have somebody get away from the confrontation with police. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Look, there's psychological profiles that everybody has. As a black man, and most of us, all the way up to President Obama, if you don't see us as equals, if you see us as a threat, if you say and you've been taught that we're going to be untrusted, there's going to be a gun, there's going to be something I got to watch out for, well, that's what you're going to react to. And as law enforcement, it'll take a special effort to go, should I give this man this consideration? Because there are many traffic stops. You do not hear of white men being tased and run and shot down behind them. You know, cops run and shoot them. It just doesn't happen. That's not a coincidence that there are so many of them, too many to mention, and a lot of them don't even make the news.
We're chatting with Wayne Winston. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be right back. 203-333-9422.
And now, a different perspective. Lisa Wexler talks with activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
So let me ask you this. We're chatting with Wayne Winston. And Wayne, you've been commenting on the difference between the apprehension of the alleged assassin in Highland Park versus the apprehension and death, killing, of, is it Javon Walker? What's his last
name? Jalen.
Jalen Walker. By the way, beautiful kid. Did you see a picture of him? Gorgeous kid.
Yes.
And his parents have been calling in Akron, Ohio for quiet and calm. They don't want to see any riots. But anyway, your presumption, your conclusion is that the difference is one of race in terms of the stereotypes and the way people, the police treat people that are in those situations. My question to you is as a dad raising a young black man, what is the talk that you want to have with him about a traffic stop?
Well, this recently we just had a similar situation with Buffalo.
Yeah.
Well, same thing. Buffalo. You know, he staked out.
They apprehended him, too. Isn't he in custody?
He's in custody.
Yeah.
He'll get to tell his story and kills all of these black people. Somehow, when he's arrested, the police find a way to arrest him, which you would think they'd be a little nervous about. And if they took him down, it would be totally justified. So we, in our community, it is when the police stop you, you keep your hands on the wheel. You don't take them off.
Okay. And you don't lift them up to, like, say, white flag?
No. You put your hands right on the wheels. We have officers here that are black police officers.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, you put your hands on those wheels, you know.
And you leave them there.
And you leave them there. And when he tells you what to do, you do it. Because
get out of the car, stay in the car, whatever it is, you do it.
And the first thing they're going to ask for is license and registration.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's when you go for that that you're in trouble,
That's
right?
That's when it becomes, okay, what is really going to happen now?
So what are you supposed to do?
Well, you listen, and what you're trying to do is, if you have the wrong type of police officer, once again, we're not talking about all, the wrong type of police officer, you're trying to minimize charges. There's people who have beefs in the world. I mean, officers are human beings, you know? And there's officers do great service. We're not talking about them. One police officer, because they deal with the community, affects thousands of lives every day. You know, we found white supremacy groups connected, Oath Keepers and all. We're even seeing this nationally. FBI is saying the same thing. So one officer can affect the lives of so many. So we know officers in our community. I knew when I grew up, you could talk to officer such and such. The other guy, oh, no, he did not want to hear anything. He was coming to arrest somebody. So it's the type of thing.
But in a traffic stop, so you're saying you listen to the police officer, you do what they want right away, and you're de facto, the way you're supposed to behave is you keep your hands on the wheel.
Oh, yes. What is it?
This poor kid running away, the running away is what you're saying is the last thing to do.
Well, I think for with all of those cars behind him, I wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm of saying, course. That's right. Everyone's second guessing.
With all of the cars behind him,
yeah,
I don't think he knew it was going to end well. Whatever happened at this traffic stop at this point, I've got eight cops. That's at least two.
What is going on there?
And it's like, and
is that because one of the police officers thought he had to call for backup because he thought he saw a gun? Like, why were there eight police officers there?
Well, they had to get on there pretty quickly because if you're driving in a car, you figure you're moving amount of speed, and then you're going, hey, I think I heard a gun. I mean, look, I don't know if they're all sitting together somewhere and they all took off, and you wind up with eight policemen, but all of them had enough time to get out of the car and chase him and shoot him. 60 bullets, my God, 60. I couldn't imagine if that was a family member. I would like to see a lot more policing in our community. And when I say something, if there's any justification for using excessive force, and it's not supposed to, I mean, that's a law. There's drug dealers in our community. We would have no, hey, they took down another drug dealer. These type of situations usually happen in a traffic stop. It's not when they're breaking in or they're catching someone on the street doing something.
So you're saying that your community wouldn't be that unhappy if things didn't go well with someone that was a known criminal in the community?
Well,
you wouldn't be second-guessing it to the same extent versus a traffic stop that could happen to any innocent person all the time.
Absolutely. You get a ticket, you go on home.
Mm-hmm.
A taillight gets someone killed in our community. Wait a minute, I thought he was going for something. You know, in Texas, where you can have a weapon, Philando Castile got killed exactly for that. He reaches, I got a weapon. You're in Texas.
He told him.
He reaches over into the glove compartment. Next thing you know, his girlfriend's right there. She's filming it. Boom, 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 and he's dead. So, I mean, these are the types of things which, when I say Black Lives Matter, is so important to understand. That's our community saying, help us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cry for help. There's something wrong here. There are people on the force that will kill us. It's not all of you, and it's not okay. And all we can do is bring it up and protest it. So that's why throughout the years it became, I can't breathe. So when Eric Garner died in New York, he's saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't. When you hear someone being arrested, and he's telling you, I can't breathe, while he's being arrested, can you not understand he's not saying it just for the hell of it?
All right. By the way, I just want to switch the subject for a little bit. 203-333-9422. what's going on with your dog? Your dog got loose? What happened with your dog?
Oh, man, let me tell you. Yeah, the animal control officer in Trumbull, it turns out to be a pretty wonderful lady. She's an escape artist.
Your dog?
Yeah. I mean, you lock that door, she finds some way to get out. So you
really?
Know, you got to keep
What kind of dog is it?
It's a border collie.
I love border collies.
Border collie.
They're the smartest dogs.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Why is she not staying home?
Because she likes to wander, you know, so we got to make sure everything's locked
down.
You
got to give her some sheep to herd. That's what you need to do.
I think you're right. You get
tired. Got to give her
anyway.
A flock of chickens or something. Give her a job. You know, border collies love to work.
Yes. So she wound up, I'm giving myself away here. She winds up in doggy jail over there, you know.
Oh, with the animal, they found her. Thank so, God they found her. I would have been panicked.
Yes, because she could be hit, stuff like
right.
that you worry about. So I go over, and she's pulling in, and she opens the door, and I'm saying, hi, I'm here to get the convict, you know, the escape artist. And she says, oh, you must mean, and she says the name, yes, that's her. And she says, are you Wayne Winston? And I said, yes. She says, oh, I listen to you all the time. You and Lisa have a great show. And I'm like, really? She said, it was The Voice. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, you do have a great voice.
You know, well, you do. So she says, I listen to the show. I listen to Lisa. She loves when you talk about your mom in Boca.
Of course. Who
Boca.
Doesn't love my mom in Boca? Of course. My mommy.
And I was hoping, well, does that get anything off the ticket? Nope.
No.
She's an amazing. So I want to say hi, Lynn. Thank you very much.
Oh, but thank you. They
the
found
help.
Your dog.
Yes, they did. They did.
Did you do like a Facebook page searching thing, pet finder? Like, you must have been in a panic. I would be in a complete
you know,
state
we,
of hysteria.
We kind of had an idea after that day. So we did, because, man, she's.
And she has tags and everything,
oh, yeah.
obviously.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So
what are you going to do to prevent her from escaping the next time?
We're going to get a big chain and.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
No. We're,
did she escape from an outside pen?
Like, no, where she was indoors.
So how did she escape? Oh, in other words, somebody opened the door. She ran.
Yes.
She's a runner.
Yes.
So you need a screen door. You need to keep her away from the door.
The way that we have this big glass and all these etchings and stuff in it, so it's like you can't put the screen in there because it's that kind. You have to take the whole thing. But
I know.
We'll
I have a big wood door, and Bill never wanted to do a screen door, so I always have my foot, you know, like you always have to. But border collies are, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough when you have an escape artist, when you have a dog that wants to run.
Man.
That's scary. She must have ran far fast that she ended up in animal control.
Well, you rough a time around the neighborhood, you know, people find her was in it was late at night, just
goodness.
Coming in the house and
pretty dog? What kind of dog? Pretty
yeah,
dog.
It is. It's cream colored. Okay, I'm describing my dog now. So if you see my dog, all right, just
the border collie. Oh my goodness!
Don't call the station because they can't help you here.
No, we can't help you. meantime, Yofi is having surgery today. Right now, actually, literally
yes.
right now, Ripawam Animal Hospital. Give him a shout out in Stamford for you know being neutered, and
oh,
I feel
okay.
really bad, but. Because I've never done that. I never had a male dog before.
Ah, okay.
I've only had female dogs. And female dogs, I feel very comfortable about spaying because I know it will give them a longer life and prevent certain cancers, and it's good, and I'm not going to be breeding the dogs anyway. But for the male dog, people are making me feel bad. Some people say it's okay. I don't want it to change his personality. I want him to still be loving and wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be fine.
I hope so, right?
Yeah,
he's going to be a good boy.
Oh, your dogs are great. So
oh, my dogs are so great. But Yofi hugs me.
Oh, wow.
He takes his two paws around my neck in the morning. And he hugs me in the morning to say good morning. Oh, he's such a good little baby boy. Anyway, Bill's picking him up at 3:30. So I got him there at 7 o'clock this morning. And we're also going to put a microchip in him, which we have with Shayna also, which are not really trackers, but it's like the kind of thing that if he were to get lost and someone were to be kind enough to call the police or a vet, then they would know that it's our dog.
Yes. Yes. And remember, if you're around the neighborhood, every dog is not my dog. So I just wanted to make that official. Every dog is not my dog.
Do you have any stray dogs in your neighborhood? We rarely have stray dogs.
Yeah. I mean,
do you?
They
have
do.
A few. We don't have any.
No, they do a pretty good job. And I did want to.
You don't even see cats anymore.
Yeah, no,
not really.
Yeah, my understanding there's a lot of gerbils running around from Some people got gerbils during COVID. So, like, they got tons of them.
Oh,
now.
My God.
But I did want to make a note from a listener that I ran into. And she remembered your comment about the Karens, and her name was Karen.
Oh, Karen.
Yes. How in our community, you know, Karens have come to mean a certain type of person.
Yeah, so I don't like that.
For clarification, and I don't know why it became a Karen, you know.
It's not nice. Okay. I don't like that.
So Karens are reflecting white women who are saying, basically, do you belong here? So it can be in a hotel. It can be in front of your house. I mean, we even had a situation in Easton. So it's basically the same thing, like, this black person can't belong here. So they'll go as far as call the police, all kind of wacky stuff. And that's basically how it came about.
I know, but I don't like it.
Understood.
It's dismissive and obnoxious.
Understood. And I don't think we're going to change that name. But to the Karens, who you really know who you are if you're not that person.
Well, okay. Of course.
And that's what she said to me. She says, I understand. She says, let you know. She's like,
but what am I supposed to do? Change my name? Exactly.
You can't. She says, but the Karens know who the Karens are. I said, well, all righty then. I'm going to make sure.
Wayne Winston, thanks for being with us today. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
We've got Norm Pattis up from 12 to 2, and then Paul Pacelli from 2 to 6. I'm Lisa Wexler. Thanks for joining us today.